This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you're having a great day. Mike, I will say this because there are a lot of people in our city who believe that our Falcons will never, never, ever win a championship.
Balderdash.
Until we change ownership. And last night should be another example that our owner is all about chips. He's won one with Atlanta United. Now he's got another one, Mike, in his trophy case with, what is it again, TGL?
It's the Tomorrow's Golf League, TGL.
TGL, he's got another one in his case. Let me tell you something. Our owner is committed to nothing but winning.
Thank you, Carl. And once again, Atlanta, we are the champions. That's right, pal. Your Atlanta drive brought home the $9 million prize and a trophy that apparently is cylindrical, but you can't drink out of it because there's no bottom. They talked about that yesterday, Andy and Randy, with Billy Horschel.
Well, listen, here's the thing, though. For everybody that's like, yeah, Arthur Blank's got, he's got trophies, but he doesn't have one in the NFL. Guys, the NFL is one of, if not the hardest sports to win a championship in. There are so many things that have to go right, okay? These guys are playing basically in a golf simulator, okay?
We are the champions.
Yes.
Come on. In a
golf simulator, okay, which a lot of people have in their basements.
Sing it, Freddie.
And you are now like, yeah, he wins at everything else, but he don't win it in football. Do you know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl?
Yep.
We need to calm down. And all I'm saying is Arthur Blank is committed, and I'm happy for Arthur. We're joking, and we're having a lot of fun being tongue-in-cheek. Right. But we're happy for him because he got involved. He put his money where his mouth is, Mike, supported this thing. Mike and I, for those who don't remember, and I'm sure you don't, we went over to Arthur Blank's office to talk to him about this before the launch. It's almost 2 years now.
Right.
And we sat down with him, and he said, we're gonna launch this thing. And, of course, for those who don't know, he owns the PGA Superstores. And we just I'm starting here only because the commitment to win a championship in the NFL is there from our owner. It's not his fault that the general managers that he's hired have maybe picked some of the wrong guys. It's not his fault that some of the coaching, Mike, has failed on Sundays. It's not his fault that this team, over the course of years, has had injuries. Everybody has something to deal with. And sometimes you overcome it and sometimes you don't. Last year, Mike said it, the Braves were able to overcome injuries and we still made the playoffs.
Right.
Okay? But understand that Arthur Blank has always and continues to do what is right by his teams. So that is why we're saying congratulations. Mike, I don't know. We talked about this. I probably watched maybe hour total of this? I'm not going to tell you I watched the entire thing. I'm not talking about last night. I'm saying total TGL as a whole. And we're big golf guys. And I was like, okay, can I get into it? But the fact is, I'm glad they're champions.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, this guy's in his car right now in his office going, no, he is responsible. He holds on to those general managers too long. He hires the wrong guys. Yeah, I mean, and I get it.
Well,
did he
hire the right guys, Billy Horschel and these guys?
I mean, well, obviously, what you got right there. Now, I don't know if Arthur was involved in saying, I want Justin Thomas, Billy Horschel, and give me that guy who plays really slow, Patrick Cantlay. But they went and they won this thing. Now, I've tried to watch this. Now, they're not really appealing to me because we're already golf guys that watch the tour on the weekends, right? When there's good golf on at a big tournament, I'll watch.
I want to see guys walk a course and be challenged, realistically,
right,
by what it offers with the next shot.
But we're not in a target demographic for this.
And how they maneuver. No, they're trying to get, 20-somethings?
I think it's 18 to 34, 18 to – I mean, I don't even know what the – all I know is we're not in it because, you know, I do like a good simulator every now and again, Carl. I know we were out in Vegas when it rained that Thursday. Me and Becky were out for Valentine's. We went to that Tour 15 or 5-iron they have down in Midtown.
Mm.
So I went to 5-iron golf. You know, you got a couple beers, had a cigar, played some simulated golf because there's nothing else to do. I don't want to stay off the tables. But this is something people do dig, and they're trying to find a way to drag younger demos into the tour, into golf. So vis-a-vis this – I mean, I don't know if they care about the PGA, but this certainly is its own entity, and they're going to see if this thing grows. The numbers have been okay, not great, but not bad either.
We're champions. Atlanta. 404-726-0929. We celebrate every chip.
Every single time. Now, where's the parade?
I'm sorry?
Where's the parade?
Is there a parade?
Chris, you know anything about this? We're going to – well, maybe they'll have a cocktail hour of an Atlanta Athletic Club.
That sounds more like it.
Maybe the parade will go from the parade for TGL will go from Cherokee to the Governor's Mansion. How about that?
While we're talking about this,
so basically about a block and a half on West Paces. How's that sound?
Okay. While we're talking about this,
I think what they are going to probably get to do is do the Golden Spike.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
There you go.
Three.
Well, that makes sense.
Matches.
Well, they can join. They can join this show. You know, we've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just saying.
Damn right we did.
Unlike some other.
I'm sorry.
Unlike some other.
This show has done the Golden Spike for those who didn't know that. It was a great night, too. We had a lot of fun. But look, Mike and I have been down with Atlanta United from day one. So when they asked us to do it, we were certainly pleased and happy to do it. But we had a lot of fun. Let me hear Arthur Blank real quick while we're doing this and talking about last night's TGL. Listen, we got a lot to talk about. Brave season starts tomorrow. Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to join us coming up in less than 10 minutes. He covers the Padres. We'll get his take on what the deal is there. But he also covers the Major League, so we'll kind of get a full layout of what he's thinking about as the season gets underway tomorrow. Mm. And then along the way, later in the show, we're going to talk to Hall of Famer John Smoltz, which we're excited about, to get his take on the Braves as well. So a lot of Braves conversation. Joe Patrick's going to join us. We got a lot of stuff to get to. But let me hear Arthur Blank on winning the inaugural TGL.
But it's just been incredible fun, really, throughout the entire season. It's unbelievable. This is match 19, and to think we're champions at the end of that, it's a credit, really. I want to name two players that are not here, Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy, along with Mike here. It was really their vision to come up with this. God bless them. And our team here, these four unbelievable players, and Ben over here was our manager on the field, and all of Atlanta could not have been more supportive and more exciting about it. And all of our guests who came here, they loved it. It's great for the game of golf. It's great to see the game of golf grow in a variety of ways, and this is a beautiful, symbolic way for that to happen. And we're privileged and honored to have the very first trophy.
Is this going to grow?
Yeah, as I said, I don't know. I mean, the demos, the numbers were good. The night that I watched, I think, was probably the best night ever. That was when Rory played Tiger.
Okay.
Remember when Tiger got the penalty for taking too long on a putt?
Yes.
It is interesting. It is unique. Now, last night, they had this feature, if you didn't see it, where basically you can double the points on the hole. And I forget how what the phrase is, but basically you can challenge a team. If a team accepts, okay, basically we're doubling up on this hole. And if you didn't see it, throwing the hammer. Patrick Cantlay hits his 18 footer last night. And that's how they helped to win it. So that's kind of, it's cool. I would love to see a clock on golfers in real golf who are watching on TV or at East Lake.
Well, you know this. I mean, sometimes these things do benefit the real game and how some of the rules are taken from some of this stuff. And you go, well, that makes sense. But I don't know how much this grows. What I do know is if it does, it will be great to help the game of golf. But for some guys, and I just happen to be one of them, I'm not as into this as I thought I might be. But when the original idea, and Arthur Blank, I said this, we were interviewing him about this, and he's telling us about the vision and all this stuff, and to his point about Tiger and all this, you know, the Tiger Woods came up with this idea. And I'm guessing at the time, think about this. A few years ago, Tiger's like, I can't walk courses. What would be cool to attract golfers, and how could we do this where we get the guys and get a chance to play? It is a brilliant idea. I just don't know if it's here for the long term. Either way,
we are champions.
And you can never take that away from us. You like that idea, though? Just like Cherokee over to the governor's mansion?
Something that'd be cool. That'd
or
be cool.
Or maybe up in... Maybe,
cocktails?
Maybe do it in Johns Creek. Now, for those who don't remember, when we won the MLS championship, we didn't get all of Peachtree. We crossed Peachtree. We did it on Baker Street.
We
went Baker Street down to Centennial Olympic Drive and then into like the Home Depot backyard on a very rainy, bitter day, but it was great and a lot of fun. And remember, Lorenowitz had the Hey Man Ale.
Yeah.
Threw it up to him, and he's down in that on one of the buses going down the street.
It was that was a cool day, man. That was fun. And seriously, you know, as we turn this and take a turn back to the Falcons, because the question is, you see this happen and you go, all right, Arthur Blank, okay, listen, he's doing everything he can. And I've got to say this. This is why this draft is huge. This is why this change with the coaching staff and Mike, the pieces that they've tried to add, we've been limited, guys. We didn't have a whole lot of money. But that doesn't mean that you don't respect or expect results. Mike, right. We do. Despite the fact of what we were or weren't able to do. Guys, this was a playoff team until our quarterback failed us. This is what it is. This was a playoff team, and to your quarterback threw 9 interceptions in 5 weeks.
And then finds a way, you know, remember I would search the whole thing before he's even here, the nexus of it. He costs us a 5th-round pick for getting on the phone to talk about the trainer, how are they going to fix my Achilles down there.
You're about to go in.
So that's one. And then the season starts, and he wins us over. You know me, I'm like, oh, my God, I love him. Remember we're at Hooters in Buford? This guy is amazing. He'll just come up and talk to you. No quarterback does that.
I was like, man, this dude is—he's legit.
Thank you, Bijan. And then all of a sudden, then it happened. Then that game in New Orleans, and then the wheels fell off. I'm fine. You're on the injury report, clerical error.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. Who are the Cinderellas and which team's cutting down the nets? Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
And he goes to New Orleans, and he tries to basically strong-arm the Falcons. No, I was injured, banged up. Makes the coach look like a nitwit. Makes the front office look silly. Then he demands a trade. You know what? And now, by the way, we can't even get a trade to get something out of it in this draft to help us for this year. Just awful. I mean, he's got to be the biggest con man in the history of the NFL. Just like the way they talk about Russell Wilson being a phony, I think Kirk Cousins is a phony of a different feather.
By the way, did you see Russ's tweet just recently? I think it was maybe this morning. What's Russ say? Let's ride. The Giants fans, did you see this, Chris? It was pretty funny. I mean, it was like typical Russ. Let's ride.
The Broncos country. Let's ride.
Yeah. It was something like that. And I just started laughing because I was like, Giants aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you're on a bad team.
Yeah.
And have you ever thought Russell Wilson would be on 3 teams in 3 years?
I did not.
Never.
No, I did not. And apparently the reports are that he wanted to go back to the Steelers. Really?
You ever done anything dangerous?
Imagine
but
that.
They didn't want you.
Yeah, correct. They did not. 404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. We're glad that you are here. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Padley. Guys, sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We got a lot to get to. Coming up, Tony Gwynn Jr., friend of the show. He's going to stop by to talk about this opening series for our Braves and the Padres. Listen, Padres are really good. They were good last year. They'll be good again this year. Nobody can control injuries, but, you know, you don't make excuses for it. And, listen, we overcame a lot of injuries last year.
Right.
I think, Mike, hitting is going to carry this team until we get Spencer Strider back and we see what this bullpen is. I think we've got to score runs and score a lot of them here early on in the season, and I think we've got the lineup to do it. We're going to talk with Tony Gwynn about that. And also other things just around the league, like, for example, the Dodgers. I was seeing this to Turtle outside, and Dylon, he was here. Working late, by the way, man. Bo and those guys are making him work late.
Man, they're slave drivers, man. I'm talking about the grind. This poor kid, doesn't Dylan have a family?
He does.
He can't get home to them. He's trapped on the ninth floor.
It's crazy. I know, Bo. I walked in and I was like, Dylan, why are you working so late? He's like, no reason.
And then Squid makes him go home and mow Squid's lawn.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
So I was talking to them and I said, hey, Shohei, is he starting tomorrow? Because the Dodgers. Mike, the Dodgers are so loaded. Shohei's not even pitching in the first 5 days of the start of the season. They're so loaded with pitching. They don't even have to rush Shohei out there.
I mean, come on. It's crazy. It's insane. By the way, and we'll talk to John Smoltz. I'll be curious what Smoltz thinks about a salary cap because, you know, his players that, you know, went through a couple of labor issues, is this like the thing? I mean, does he feel that way? Because, and I know how he feels about pitching. I'll be curious to get his take on how the fourth and fifth guys have to handle this Braves rotation until Strider's good to go.
It's on the way. Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Skeletor. That's the world tour that's coming to State Farm Arena July 11th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Stay tuned. We'll give you a chance to win those. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk to our man. We love talking to Tony Gwynn Jr., friend of the show. And Tony, man, it's good to have you back on. It's good to have baseball in the air. I mean, tomorrow's opening day. Obviously, the Braves are taking on the Padres to start the season, so it's a great time to have you on. But we'll pick your brain about all the things around Major League Baseball as well. Tell us about the Padres first and foremost. And, you know, last year, high expectations. They spent a lot of money. We talked to you quite a bit about it. And, you know, they didn't quite get there. But I know this is going to be another good year for them, isn't it?
I think so. I think, you know, obviously a lot of the attention is on the Dodgers and their offseason and the team they put together. But, you know, the Padres feel pretty good about this squad. I think, you know, going into the year, they feel really good about their offense, which was one of the best ones, best offenses in the league last year. And I think, you know, the only maybe concern is how they round out their rotation. Darvish is going to start the year on the IL, but this is a really, really good ball club with the core of their team still in their prime.
What do you think of the Braves? We've basically didn't really do what we were hoping for, which is to get more frontline starting pitching, at least some of us, me. I don't know, Carl, where do you fall on that? I'm always complaining about enough starting pitching. We will get Strider back, but I think one through eight in the field, I think we're okay. But what do you think of the Braves?
I think the Braves are going to be really good. I mean, this is a team that I think you guys know. They were beat up come into the year last year when they walked into that series against the Padres. And so, yes, they're starting pitching. They're kind of in a similar spot as the Padres in terms of their starting pitching. They have some good frontline guys. Obviously, losing Max Fried, that's a tough piece to replace. But the Dodgers have become, you know, one of these organizations that seemingly always find some young starters in their minor league system. And so they're going to depend on that this year. They're going to see some of these young guys come up, some of which – Braves fans got to see last year at the end of the year, but their offense is going to be the thing. They took one of the Padres' best players in Jerickson Profar. I think he's going to be a great addition to that lineup over there. And you know, the thing about the National League in general, this is a very competitive league, really up and down. You know, whether we're talking about teams in the East, the West, and there's some teams in the Central who I think are going to make some noise too. So it's going to be a fun season this year to see how it all unfolds.
Tony, while we're talking about Profar, tell our listeners and Braves fans what we're getting, because we haven't seen him enough. When they made the move, you know, Alex Anthopoulos told us they had him rated as the best hitting free agent, you know, in the offseason, and then they risked that by paying him accordingly. What are we getting in Profar?
You're getting a guy that has an infectious personality in the clubhouse. He is a kind, gentle soul off the field, but once he crosses that line and becomes a player, he is intense as it gets. I mean, there was a few standoffs last year with Jerickson right in the middle of it, but ultimately you get a guy who grinds. He's going to play every day, even when he's not swinging a bat well. He finds his way on the base paths. He finds a way to affect the game. And, you know, I don't know that you could have been happier for somebody to get a bag as Jerickson Profar, who, you know, had to kind of deal with a lot of different things and scenarios before he got to that point. I think he fits in really, really, really well with the Braves, though.
It's a Tony Gwynn Jr., guys, one of our favorite guests, joined us as we get ready for opening day. I was just saying to Carl, man, we're going to talk to John Smoltz later in the show. I don't know where you fall on a salary cap, but, I mean, just – the Dodger thing is just ridiculous. I mean, it's just insane, Tony. Where do you fall on that?
I fall on the side of everybody asking for a salary cap doesn't really take the time to think about what that actually means. Yes, it may actually help other teams kind of even it out a little bit. But in order to get there, what kind of work stoppage are you talking about? I mean, right. I know how difficult and how tough it was just in the lockout from 2020 when we didn't have baseball until July. In order to get the salary cap, my guess is it's going to take a whole lot longer than that. And so you have to ask yourself, do either side have the appetite when business is booming right now and things are certainly moving in the right direction? Does either side have the appetite for what it would take to get there? And I can tell you one thing, the players are no fans of the salary cap and have been prepared since the days of my dad playing for a situation like this. So, you know, are we talking about a work stoppage for a full year? I mean, do any of us really want that type of deal? So that's kind of where I fall on it. I don't know that a salary cap is worth the type of damage that you could do to the game just so that, you know, you could fix a problem that may not be fixed. Again, the Dodgers can go out and spend all the money they want. They still have only won the one title in the 162 in regular season, like a regular 162 game season. This was the first one since 88. So it's not guaranteed that just because you can spend the money that you go out and win.
Just to wrap it up, Tony, I just feel like if you're a Pirates fan or a Reds fan, you just feel like you got no shot, I guess, at the end of that. Now, there's no guarantee to your point that those owners will spend to whatever the cap would be.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. With all due respect to the Pirates, we've kind of heard from their own players on the thoughts and how they're spending their money or not spending their money to help a team. They've had the likes of some of the best players come through that organization, and yet they haven't been willing to spend the money to keep any of them. And so, you know, at some point, the finger has to be pointed at some of these owners, not all of them, but some of these owners who continuously don't spend on their organization. It's going to be tough to convince not only players, but the owners that go out and spend. Because remember, these other owners are handing out revenue to these lower tier teams that, you know, claim that they don't have the money to spend. And so there is a very complicated piece in terms of not just the players, but can the owners actually be on the same page with all this type of deal?
You know, I'm glad you said this and brought this up because everybody's expecting the Mets to do something. They got hot last year. They made a run to the NLCS. But they paid Soto $700 million. It doesn't guarantee Jack. Now, I'm not mad at Soto. Get your money, right? Get your bag. But the idea, Tony, that they paid one dude $700 million over the next 15 years and somehow that guarantees the Mets, you know, three or four World Series, it doesn't.
It absolutely doesn't. I mean, we've seen that across the board. I mean, as long as I've been watching baseball, it is not a guarantee that if you go out and spend the most on the player that you're going to win. And more than likely, it ends up going the opposite way or you fall short.
Mm.
And so, listen, I will say this. Juan Soto is unique from the standpoint of how young he was when he hit free agency and how productive he was leading into free agency. And so he's capitalized on that. Does that then mean that it's a guarantee that the Mets are going to go out and win the World Series? Absolutely not. But I will say they got a guy who can certainly be a catalyst to doing it. And they already had a dude there, I think, in Francisco Lindor that is of the same ilk. So doesn't guarantee you anything. It just means they've got some pretty good players in place to take a run at it and get as many swings at it as possible.
So while we're talking about freaks, talk to us about this kid that we're going to learn very quickly here, I think, once he gets to the big leagues with the Padres. Leo DeVries, 18 years old.
Yeah.
The nickname is the Mutant. Tell me about this kid. I mean, seriously, like, this kid sounds like he's unbelievable.
It's a hell of a nickname to come into the league with, that's for sure. He's as advertised, man. Getting to see him this spring. Don't get me wrong. He's 18. He's got some seasoning that he needs to happen. But as does Ethan Salas, who's the other 18, 19-year-old that the Padres have in their system. But you can see it. It jumps off the page at you. I mean, his strike zone discipline at the young age of 18, watching him move on in the field, he's still working into his frame. Like, he's not even close to the size I think he will eventually be. But yeah, man, he's everything as advertised. I'd probably say he's a year and some change away still.
Okay.
But he's making progress, and he's making progress pretty quickly.
The Yankees last night, or last year, I should say, make it to the World Series, but they've had some injuries. Carl mentioned the Mets. They've got some injuries. Do you see in the American League the Indians this year where they put it all together? Because they were a really nice surprise last year.
I don't know, man. The Central in itself is a much like the NL Central, really, is a very competitive division. You can see four teams winning the American League Central. I mean, the Royals certainly are a favorite of a lot of teams. Detroit and what they did last year, Cleveland. And listen, the Twins led that division most of the year before they kind of fell apart at the end. So I think that division's wide open. If you pin me down, I would pick probably the Twins because of their rotation. I feel like that they got the stronger of those four teams. But I honestly, any one of those four could walk away with that division.
Tony Gwynn, always a pleasure, man. It's going to be fun to start the season against the Padres. We look forward to seeing you during the season when you make your way to the ATL. But you know you're one of our faves, man, and looking forward to having you back on throughout the course of the season.
I always appreciate you guys having me on. You guys have a good day.
You too. Cool. Tony Gwynn Jr. here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, the way we start this season, Mike, and the Padres are good. I mean, like, we don't get any breaks, right?
No.
It's not like we're playing the White Sox for seven games.
No, and as we said, the way things are going now until Strider's ready, and it's not a knock. Brought this up yesterday when Grant put out the rotation. You know, you go into L.A. against that train. I mean, that's a juggernaut. And Grant Holmes is your starting pitcher. Nice story. But it just kind of shows you know, the inequity in the starting pitching right now because the Braves are dealing with it. You want to spend the money in the offseason.
When we come back, speaking of the Braves, hear what Chipper Jones had to say about the lineup as part of our daily download next.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, on a hump day. I was telling Carl as I came into work today, and it's funny, it's got another version of like what grinds my gears on Dukes and Bell. Carl's like, how's your drive? I'm like, oh, man. I don't know, man. They were selling crazy pills on the interstate today. I got cut off twice. You know, and you honk at somebody. No, sometimes some people don't see you. You know, maybe you're in someone's blind spot. And then you get like the hand out the window. Hey, I'm sorry. And then by the time I got up to this lady in a Range Rover in the 10th Street exit.
She flicked you off.
Blank you! Okay, yeah. You have a great day. So yeah, man, I mean, let's sort of spread some joy and happiness on a hump day. I guess people are going to get the midweek blues.
I used to react. I've told that story, Mike, years ago where I chased a guy down. I don't do that anymore. but, you know, because Michelle's screaming at me in the car, you don't have your gun! Okay, enough. But here's the deal. I've gotten to the point now where I laugh.
Right.
And you know, I know you went through anger management. Maybe, you know, look, people do they flick you off. They say things, you know, they're doing the hand gestures in the car. I'm just like, I'm just laughing and I keep driving. I try not to pay it attention because it will drive you nuts, to your point.
Right. After all my speeding tickets, I will tell you this. I mean, all those classes I've sat through over the years for points reductions, it does really sink in. Now I am the most defensive driver out there. I'm just anticipating everybody everywhere coming into my lane and cutting me off, basically. That's the way I have to drive in the city as it is anyway.
It's tough out here sometimes. It really is, man. And today, I know you came in. Mike had that look on his face. That's just like, what happened? What's going on? But sometimes, man, you guys know you're in this traffic right. Every day, morning drive or even afternoon drive, whatever it might be. We're glad you're here. It's
Everybody
Sports
be
Radio.
Cool. Chill.
It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One thing we didn't ask, and I wish I would have. I wasn't thinking about this because people are projecting, Mike, that Paul Skenes is going to have 300 strikeouts. Okay,
that's certainly possible if you extrapolate him over a full season.
Sensational, you know, kid. He's in Pittsburgh. The last guy to do it was Garrett Cole in 2019. 326 strikeouts.
Right.
2017, Chris Sale did it with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
That was before the injury. And then, obviously, he won a Cy Young here last year. Pedro Martinez, Mike, did it in 99 where he struck out 313. Point is, guys, it doesn't—
Randy Johnson used to do it almost every year.
But it doesn't happen every year with the same guys. It's rare and far few between.
Especially now with five-man rotation.
Correct. Where one guy starts to pitch and he's, you know, going to dominate every outing where he's giving you 9 or 10. Listen, we thought Spencer Strider was on the way to this until the injury happened, you know, last year. So the point is, Skeens is a guy we talked a lot about, but they're saying he's a guy that's going to join this 300-strikeout group with Cole, Martinez. You go back to Scherzer, did it, I think, in 2018 with the Nationals. It's a pretty impressive group, but it doesn't happen every year.
Randy Johnson did it 6 times. Nolan Ryan, of course, did it 6 times, which is pretty amazing. Schilling did it 3 times. Sandy Koufax did it 3 times before eventually he had to shut his arm down. So, yeah, you mentioned Pedro already. One of our favorite guys. I know you knew him. J.R. Richard did it twice. He was, man, that was something back in the day to watch him pitch.
If he, if he doesn't have the incident,
right?
Who knows how dominant he could have been.
John Fricke here. Real quick, Carl, Mike, how do you leave out the big train?
Who's that?
Walter Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Signed a hat for me.
Well, didn't you call his games?
Yes, I did. For the Senators. The first iteration.
Big O is behind the glass. Of course, Chris is our executive producer. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to John Smoltz, by the way, later in the show. Also, next hour, we will get a chance to discuss a few things with our man, Joe Patrick. Because he's going to stop by as well at 4:20, actually, for Joe Patrick. We'll talk some Falcons with him. Talk about the introductory press conference, Mike, with Leonard Floyd. A lot of people reacting to the stuff we were talking about yesterday with Floyd saying, hey, I want to get after the quarterback. Called himself the smoking gun, or at least that's how he perceives himself. But bottom line is, I'm glad he's got a play. He wants to come in here and make a difference, and he's stating as such.
We were joking around about smoking gun, perhaps a better metaphor, but hey, he was in the moment. But yeah, we like the guy. He's a good dog, and he's a solid NFL pro. And I think a guy like that, we talked about Freeney. Again, Freeney's a Hall of Famer, but he's a guy we can only help. And based on what we've gotten out of some veterans, now again, Judon, it just didn't work out. But we were, I don't know if Falcon Vandal wasn't excited about Matthew Judon at the time.
No, he was solid, man. I mean, look. The reason was we needed it, and he was a veteran who had proven he could do it. We just didn't know he wasn't going to be as good as he's been. And, you know, this is the risk. The good news is Leonard Floyd didn't have any injuries he's coming off of.
Right.
All right? He's pretty good coming off of last season. All right, more on that coming up with Joe Patrick. Right now, though, let's get to the Daily Download.
It's time for Dukes and Bell's
Daily Download. Story number one.
Well, Hawks make a run last night, Mike, but it was ugly. And I told you guys yesterday, Rockets are pretty good. Okay, they're second in the Western Conference, and you saw why. Mike loves their coach, and Ime Udoka. They've got a lot of things working. The problem is, I think they're a little bit young, Mike, to make a run towards a championship.
Right.
But you get in the playoffs, you never know. But, man, they're talented. And you saw it last night in their 121-114 victory, even though we went on a 29-8 fourth-quarter run. It didn't feel like it was this close, did
it? No, and I got to be honest, most Hawks fans, unless you're a diehard, were probably tuned out by halftime because they outscored the Rockets, to your point, 40-27 in the fourth. So, you know, much like Bronny going for 17 one night, it's kind of like the garbage time points, but it does look good on the stat sheet. Yeah, that's a young, athletic, fun team, and that's proof that if you get it right, and the OKC is the same way, you can turn his team around in under 3 years, and the Rockets have done that.
Let's hear from Steve Holman. He had the call talking about the fourth quarter.
We've still got 11 minutes to go, so you never know. I mean, 20-point leads aren't what they used to be in the NBA now with all these three-point shots.
And he's right. Hawks made a run. I mean, again, the final score is you lose by 7, but it wasn't indicative of how the game played out.
No, and again, we shot 49. That's what you do when you're down that big. Only made 30.6 of them. That would be... Well, a problem. The thing is, the Rockets, they were getting to the paint because, you know, they shot 28% from the stripes. That's why I like the balance. I know you talked about me liking Udoka. They shot 39 threes, but I hate all this three-point shooting in the NBA. I love the intermediate jump shot, the stuff. That, you see that once in a while, it's like, wow, what was that? That's why I love SGA. SGA can pop from anywhere. If you saw him last night, he's averaging what guys average for a game by the third quarter.
Yeah, I agree, man. They're going to be a tough out. It's going to be interesting. By the way, Hawks continue this road trip. As we mentioned, they are at Miami. By the way, did you see any of that last night with Jimmy Butler? A disappointment.
I mean, it was funny because, you know, first off, it's Miami. So the fans are like, oh, what time is the game? Oh, Jimmy Butler's back? Oh, I have to check my schedule. So, I mean, yeah, so it was a typical Miami crowd. You got a smattering of applause, some boos. Mostly it was indifference when they did a little video tribute to Jimmy. Like they won a title with him. They got to a title. They got to the finals. But, yeah, it was weird. He tried to just blow it off like Jimmy does. Well, this ain't playoff, Jimmy. Well, okay. It was just
weird.
It was weird.
A strange game. Yeah. It was terrible.
Golden State loses, but the Hawks at Miami on Thursday, and then Sunday they'll take on a Milwaukee at Milwaukee.
And Miami, if you didn't see the game last night, they've got some, you know, they've been awful ever since Butler got traded to the, you know, to the Warriors, but they've got some other guys, and, you know, Bam Adebayo, do you see when he flushed it on him?
No.
Oh, he flushed it on Jimmy, and it was just like, he didn't pose or anything, he just kind of like smirked. But it was, yeah, he could have. I mean, it was, if you didn't see it, he basically posterized Butler. He could have been like, yeah, you know, could have done a Garnett thing.
Exactly.
So I don't know, man, if you're looking for
anything is possible. Yeah,
I just don't think that kind of animosity exists in today's NBA, regardless of what the circumstances were.
I just was disappointed, to your point, and this is why we talk about, you know, the bad reputation our city has gotten as a sports town. Miami's terrible. I'm just telling you, the fans could care less.
That's true.
They should have booed his ass back. To Golden State, and they could care less. Jimmy Butler.
What? I live
there. He basically took you guys to the cleaners.
Right.
And got everything he wanted, got his bag, left, and you now are searching to see how you guys can get back to the playoffs and how you're going to get better. And here you are. Yeah, Jimmy.
It's almost akin to what the, you know, now, not that, here's the thing, you can't say Luka demanded a trade. Luka just got traded. Now, he may have had some behavior which decided to make them trade. It was still stupid, but you're right, Jimmy was wanting his way out of there. Treated Riles like crap, which I don't treat Riley. Nobody puts Riley in a corner like that. One thing for certain, I don't know if this guy's going to be any good, but I was watching some of that. I was flipping around because it was on TNT last night. Their center, the 7-footer, is it Khalil Ware? This dude, if he takes one stride, he's like halfway across the floor.
He's like a gazelle.
Yeah, I don't know. When you see Miami, you'll notice him. He's not really scoring a lot of points yet. He's learning the game.
Yeah.
But dude is huge. I mean, no blank Sherlock. He's 7 feet tall.
I haven't seen it. Yeah. I did not check him out. But last night, that was just a sidebar. But next up for us is the Heat. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Mike Kirby addressing the arrest. Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about, was it Tuggle? Nitro Tuggle and all the stuff that was going on 4 or 5 days ago. Here's Kirby.
It's not been several months. You know, it's been several years in terms of defensive driving courses, having players ride and learn how to drive, just like my two kids did with a driver service. Josh Brooks has done a tremendous job meeting with every player. And we've had several speakers come in, and we continue to educate. And we're not going to stop at that. You know, it's very unfortunate that you know, one of those young men got his driver's license within 1 month of that happening at 18 or 19 years old. And it's amazing how many kids come to school now without a driver's license. So it's no excuse, but it's one of those things. We will continue to educate and discipline our guys.
I don't know, man. Marcus Easley, that was the challenger that basically spun around, if you didn't see that, and wound up in somebody's like driveway, like an apartment complex. That was the one that happened in Oconee County. So there's two of them. I don't know, man. When we were kids, and I know it's different. Not everybody has the same background, but you know, usually your parents or a parent or an uncle or somebody's going to give you the basics to take you to a big old empty parking lot and tell you what's what. Now, I understand all the old farts will always go, well, you give these kids their money. Any car can be in an accident. You don't have to be in a sports car or a souped up hot rod. You can be, you know, you could wreck in a beater. That was my point last week. But you just got to feel, Carl, at some point, the guys have got to know what the history is here. You know, I mean, what do you got? Do you have to bring in like the surviving family members from the tragedy to have them speak to the Georgia Bulldogs?
I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't know what resonates with some of these kids. Mike, I will say this.
Have Devin Willick's family come in and talk to him? I don't get it.
I don't know. Look, it's still happening way more than it should. We don't report on the other SEC schools to know day in and day out enough that is this going on at Ole Miss or Tennessee? Yes, it is. But it's Georgia, and the spotlight is on Georgia because they've been, you know, the standard here in the college football world for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. And so with that said, but I'll say this about the cars. You're right. It can happen in any car. But you give a kid a car with 700 or 800 horses in it, it changes things because you're going to challenge it. You're going to challenge it. When we were 17 or 18, if we would have had those vehicles, we would have been like, this car can go how fast? And it changes your processing as far as, okay, I just want to see one time. And that one time is all it takes. 404-726-0929. It's our daily download brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
Chipper Jones went on the steakhouse today, Mike. He was talking about just staying healthy. I think the offense can carry us here early on in the season. We need Strider back. We need to get Acuna back. But listen to what Chipper Jones had to say.
When healthy, has a chance to do some special things. You have MVP candidates, you got 40-70 guys, you've got 40-50 homer guys, you've got, guys that have contended for triple crowns in the middle. It can be special when it's clicking on all cylinders. We got to get them all in the lineup at the same time.
I agree. Right. Like that's what killed us last year. Every time it was like, all right, well, we're getting this injury and this guy back, somebody else went down. And it was a starter and somebody that we counted on in the lineup. Look at the lineup right now. Guys, Profar probably going to lead off. I like the way this is kind of looking right now, Mike. You got Ozuna cleanup, you know, Olsen. I think we can do some things at the top of this lineup and certainly score a lot of runs.
I just thought last year, I mentioned all the time, Snicker should have won National League Manager of the Year. I mean, Pat Murphy won it for the Brewers. He won one more game than Greg Castle did the year before with a team that had no adversity. And as you say, the Braves had 27,000 different lineups last year.
At least.
Not to mention having to deal with all the pitching and all the issues with the pen. So, yeah, I mean, and this is Snicker's, you know, swan song. I that's why I was kind of hoping they doubled down on everything to give him a loaded deck. But if you miss Tony Gwynn, he's certainly loves our lineup and loves a good portion of our starting pitching.
No doubt about it. Can I hear Chipper talk about the fact that he thinks this is a special lineup? I mean, look, we all want to compare it to what, 21? Okay, well, let's see. They have the potential to be that good, I think, once you get Acuna back. Here's Chipper Jones.
It's time for us to stay healthy. Yeah. You know, Acuna looks great, swinging the bat great. You've seen Strider come back with a couple of good starts here in spring training. He won't be long before he's back. And let's stay healthy, be hot at the right time in October, and we'll let the chips fall where they may.
Well, you always talk about that, being hot, right? Getting hot. The Mets got hot last year.
That's the thing. I mean, the 21 season was one that, you know, if you look at the 23, the way this team hit, it's just unbelievable. But the 21 team was so clutch. And again, we can joke around about him and not talking to his agent. We miss Chipper. We miss Freddie. Freddie was like the chip off of Chipper because he was a leader. We've not been the same, honestly, since Freddie Freeman left.
Olsen that first year, good year. Last year,
too streaky. He's having a bad spring. See how he starts. I'd be curious.
Coming up, we got to talk about what's going on around the NFL, including a guy who ended up where I don't think anybody thought he would. And what's it mean now for the teams who are still looking for quarterbacks? We'll get into it as part of our 4th and 1 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.